We have two scripture readings this morning. The first one is from Psalms 85. Listen for the word of the Lord. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from the hot anger, from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, a friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are all with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Good morning. It is always good to be church with you. So she sits in the back row of chairs in the sanctuary when she attends worship. It's a safe distance, she told her pastor. I know God is real. I just don't know if God is as loving as I have been taught God is. You see, Jan had married a man almost 20 years older than she was. They met in college, fairly and squarely, she would say. He was her professor. They dated and eventually married, and the marriage produced two beautiful young daughters. The challenge was her husband struggled with heart disease. It ran in the family. The men all died in their 60s. Would her new husband meet the same fate? Or, as she confessed to her pastor, would God spare him and me and his daughters the family curse? So she sits in the back of the sanctuary as a quiet protest. Yes, she would sit in God's company, but she wouldn't call God a friend. I simply do not know if God cares about my prayer for our family, the prayer that says, despite my husband's genetic inheritance, please let my husband and the girl's father live a long life. And then she added, I know children who have lost a parent when they were very young. I know it's possible. Well, there's a story which goes like this concerning Saint Teresa of Avila. Saint Teresa of Avila had an unfortunate circumstance. Sometimes it's recorded that she fell off a horse into the mud, and sometimes it's recorded that she had a carriage accident and fell into the mud. But either story, the end is the same. She fell into the mud. And it's a metaphor how we feel when we fall into unpleasant events in our life. Now, sometimes, you know, though, with Saint Teresa, there's no mud, and sometimes there's just an insight she receives at prayer. But whatever the circumstance is, she heard Jesus very clearly say to her, this is how I treat my friends. To which she replied, if this is how you treat your friends, it is no wonder you have so few. It doesn't get more honest than that, does it? But it's the same Teresa who offers one of my favorite definitions of prayer. And she simply says, prayer is friendship with God. It's a little bit of light that comes across the face when we say the word friendship. Songs about friendship are usually uplifting, as in, you've got a friend. Who doesn't want one of those? Well, we all do. A really good one. And when we've got them, we're very thankful. So this is the definition I want you and I to work with for a little bit this morning. Prayer is friendship with God. So, have you ever wondered what goes on in the heart of God when we pray? Is God thinking, I need a little rain in South Central Montana. The land is thirsty. The farmers would be thankful. But then when suddenly a family who has planned a lovely, expensive outdoor wedding for their children prays, please keep the sun shining, does God change God's mind and rob the farmer of the needed moisture, which God had planned for a long time to honor the family who needs a clean and dry and pretty wedding? Please keep the sun shining. Do you hear that? So does God change God's mind? In our friendship with God, are we ever the leader? Are we ever the teacher? If we are, let's say, are we comfortable with that? I mean, I'd hate you to deprive your wheat field of rain just so that my daughter's wedding day would be everything that she dreamed of. Well, just this week, a wonderful soul shared with me that she was overwhelmed with grief. Her husband had died many months ago, but she still could not breathe or think clearly or find humor or anything. She could not taste breakfast. She could not appreciate the sunrise or the sunset. And the color pink really, really, really ticked her off. Her heart said to God, I just want to know if my husband's okay. That night, she had a dream. And she saw in the dream her husband just sitting there, looking pretty good. She didn't know where he was sitting, but there he was. And the woman concluded, I feel so much better now. I do not know why, but now I can sleep. I feel more relaxed. And she and I celebrated her answered prayer. Now, I have often observed that when we are distraught, and I mean distraught, a gift of some kind comes to settle us. Have you noticed that? It might be a dream, or it might be the right words at the right time from an article we're reading, something that's on our phones, some words from a friend or even a stranger. And it might be just some kind of aha that emerges from the inside of us and works itself out. All we know is that there is a response to our pain that settles us. We should not be surprised. After all, we read in the Old Testament these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort, my people, God says to the congregation. That's because comforting people is what God does. So why wouldn't God ask us, we who are created in the image of God, to participate in comforting others? So in all of these stories, we are visiting interesting questions about prayer. How can we be loved by God and experience bad things? Why does God give to some and not to others? Why does God answer this request but not that one? Why now but then not later? Well, more than one person has bemoaned, who knows the mind of God? Well, we might not always know the mind of God, but we do know something more important Jesus would teach us, and that is the will of God. And the will of God is love or compassion or what Jesus calls the kingdom of God, when what righteousness and peace kiss each other. What is the kingdom of God? It is God's will on earth, devotion to God and compassion or service to our neighbor. And it is the kingdom of God which shapes the prayer Jesus teaches the disciples. Were we reading the Lord's Prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, we first hear Jesus' teaching on God's awareness of the details of our individual lives, our personal lives. Jesus says, before he gives the disciples the prayer, Jesus says, give in secret. Jesus says this because with God, nothing is really ever done in secret, and God's eyes are the only ones which matter. And this is so refreshing. How nice to know we really don't have to find our name in the newspaper or make a name for ourselves, because God makes one for us every day. And Jesus will say, don't use prayer to draw amazement from others or impress other people. Why? Well, they really can't answer your prayer. So why are you wasting your time? And finally, this is what's interesting. Jesus will say, don't babble on and on in prayer, because God knows what you need before you ask. And perhaps it is this last teaching segment that might be very helpful us today. Give us some insight when it comes to Jesus and this light about prayer that Jesus is sharing. God is aware of your personal, individual needs. It's not that they don't matter. It's just that God already knows. Jesus doesn't say, don't talk to God about it. But what did we hear Jesus say? You don't have to go on and on and on about it. You know, like I have a friend who loves Diet Coke. I mean, she really loves Diet Coke. And we go out for the day, about every hour and a half, she'll be like, you know, I need a Diet Coke. You know, I need a Diet Coke. Dana, are we going to get a Diet Coke? Are we going to go to the grocery store? Are we going to go to the gas station? Because, you know, yeah, not, we don't have to keep doing that. Because God needs us to shift and put our energy somewhere else. So, many sermons have been preached on what Matthew will say about God is already aware of your needs. And the sermons I have heard over the years usually launch into, well, the reason you don't always get what you need is because it's really a want. And God's not so much into wants, and you need to know the difference between needs and wants. Haven't you heard that sermon? Maybe you've preached that one a time or two. But what occurred to me as my eyes ran over the verses in Matthew today is that there are also, there's the word your, as in God knows your needs. So in other words, the petitions to God originate out of the events of our personal life, and they are personal, not out of God's needs, but out of yours. And that's why you can keep your petitions short, your personal need list short, because God already knows the list: health, wealth, work, opportunity, advancement, rest, children to leave the nest, relief from addiction, vacation, graduation from college, healing from grief and loss, and the list goes on and on. We can keep that short because God already knows. So that's also why when Jesus answers the disciples' request to teach them how to pray or how to be friends with God, Jesus does, in fact, spin them in a different direction. God knows what we want or need, but do we know what God wants and needs? And that if we focused on what God wants and needs, our life, our lives, the lives of our neighbors would be so much more livelier than the one we planned on creating ourselves. The prayer Jesus offers his followers is not focused on the individual, but the community, as in give us this day enough food. Us is important. Circle that. Give us this day enough food. You see, Jesus and his followers traveled as they taught and healed their neighbors. They didn't take a lot of stuff, not even a tiny house. And they were dependent upon the hospitality of others. Jesus did this for a reason. They weren't distracted by organizing and carrying stuff. They were focused on teaching and healing, and including those who had been forgotten. So Jesus opens prayer with our Father, and as the lovely sisters at St. Gertrude's Monastery in Cottonwood, Idaho, also pray every day, our Father, our Mother, it's not my, it's our. The prayer isn't focused on the desires of the individuals, but on the desires of God, as in, thy kingdom come. Jesus is connecting friendship with God with our receptivity to the work that needs to be done to bring God's kingdom here on earth. God is the source of our compassion. So half of what Jesus teaches today in our reading now from the Gospel of Luke teaches his followers is to do as friends of God is keep God holy and pray that God's kingdom take shape on earth and God's will take shape in our lives. In our relationship with God, God is first. God is large. I've spent a lot of time over the years with the first fruits concept. What is it God is asking of me? And what I simply have discovered is God really likes the first 30 minutes of my day. Now, I get a whole lot of minutes in my day, but God really likes the first 30. It sounds simple, but when you decide to give God the first 30 minutes of your life, because that's when you're most awake and most aware and most receptive to the Spirit, well, you tell me how easy it is for you. But in our relationship, Jesus teaches us, we would be disciples, that God is first and God is large. And second, Jesus teaches his followers that as friends of God, it is enough that we get what we need for physical and spiritual support each day, and that we give great space in our day for asking and receiving forgiveness, as well as asking for help from God to keep us from spiritual influences which destroy our lives and the lives of others. We are tossed about by many spirits. So when it comes to friendship with God, the goal is there being more of God, God's dream and God's will, and less of us and our dreams and our will. So friendship with God is a basic, elemental affair. It's uncomplicated, really. It's filled with a lot of light. Persist, Jesus advises us today, and trust. As Scripture will affirm, God loves to give what? Do you know? The kingdom and the Holy Spirit. That's what God loves to give. So the question no longer is, what goes on the inside of God when we pray? But what goes on in the inside of us when we pray? How do we become instruments of mercy and justice and peace just like Jesus? And how do our dreams grow smaller and God's dream grow larger? Jesus told a parable about this. It's actually one of my favorite, but it wasn't my favorite when I was little. I like the sower went to sow some seeds, or the good Samaritan, right? But if you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, we hear, he, meaning Jesus, also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. Have you ever responded to human need? That's mercy. Have you ever elevated the value of someone in society who is without honor? Have you ever included the excluded? Well, you're on the road to justice. Have you ever been a calm presence or a bridge builder between warring factions? Welcome the inner peacemaker. Have you ever let God lead? Oh, here comes humility. And how did this happen? This beautiful, wonderful Christ like you. Did you will yourself into that? Jesus says, we don't know how it is that the seed grows. But no wonder Jesus teaches, love God, devote yourself to God, make God large, because if we don't make God large, compassion will not be large within us. That's the correlation. God is the source of our best self. So a few years ago, a handful of high school students were tasked with the responsibility to create and design the retreat for high school students in the church. They'd had enough, of course, of we adults thinking what we thought they need and creating these retreats to which they never wanted to come. And the aha went off, why don't we let them design a retreat that they want to go to, and we will support it if, you know, it's pretty reasonable. So they came up with a theme. That's where you start. And this is what they handed the leaders on a piece of paper. Their idea for the retreat was the question that burned in their heart. Who is the object of prayer? And who is the subject? In other words, what they wanted to know was, when it comes to friendship with God, is it about me? Or is it about God? When it comes to prayer, to friendship with God, who is it that grows? 17 and 18-year-olds wanted to know. If you were their small group leader, what light would you shed on their question in light of what Jesus teaches us about prayer? Amen.